2020 is a critical election year for the party.
But freedom is never more than one generation away from extinction.
America will never be a socialist country.
The only way they can inherit the freedom we have known is if we fight for it and then hand it to them with the well-taught lessons of how they in their lifetime must do the same.
We are born free and we will stay free.
Welcome to another critically acclaimed edition of 20 for 20 here at the NRSC podcast. I'm Kevin McLaughlin. This is my good friend Matt Whitlock. Always excited to have you here. Make sure you download us on Spotify and Ricochet.com and Apple and iTunes and all whatever the kids are doing
these days. The Hoosie Wetsits.
Yeah, right, exactly. But Matt, why don't you tell everyone who we're talking with today? I'm very excited about it.
So as we're recording today, the Senate is still in the impeachment trial. And so we have the very distinct honor of hearing from Congressman Steve Scalise, who can tell us a little bit about what impeachment's been like up to this point from the House process, but also we have a lot of fun things we want to talk to Congressman Scalise about.
This might end up being Grammy-worthy stuff that we do
That's
here.
That's what we're going for. That's
Library of Congress is going to be begging for this tape when we're
they
done.
Are.
We're furious that Ted Cruz guy is number one on the podcast.
Ted
launch
Cruz,
is number
yeah.
He's
one.
He's tearing it up right now.
He is. He's dominating.
He is. But he's been a great messenger on this, so more power to him to get him out there.
There is a lot of flaws in what they're doing over there. And, you know, like we had to deal with this for months. I mean, you know, Adam Schiff out there running the most partisan, one-sided, unfair impeachment in the history of our country. Literally never before in the history of our country was there a partisan-only impeachment. Every impeachment was bipartisan. Oh, and by the way, the other three impeachments all started with a crime. This one never started with a crime. Right. They've been looking around for a crime. The Mueller investigation, 22 months, 2,500 subpoenas, not one single charge. And yet they still filed articles of impeachment against the guy just because they're upset they lost the 2016 election. They hate him personally. And I think that's coming through, by the way, this kind of personal vendetta thing as opposed to Congress focusing on real substance and real jobs. You know, and the irony of Schiff in the Senate saying, we need fairness. Mm. Gee whiz, if he would have had a fair trial that he ran in the House, he wouldn't need to be begging for more witnesses because they denied us our witnesses. We had a list of witnesses from the whistleblower to Hunter Biden. You know, those were the witnesses we would have loved to see. They wouldn't let us have any of them. Literally broke House rules by denying us the ability to bring witnesses. Then he goes over to the Senate and has the nerve to say, hey, give us some witnesses. You know, they have no case. Yeah. If they had a case, they would have already rested it, and yet they have no crime yet. They still want to impeach the guy because they're scared to death they're going to lose the election this year because their field is so weak. The president's done such a great job, and this is really the heart of it. President Trump's delivered on all the things he promised. You know, you looked at all of the things he's done just in the last week. I mean, a bill signing ceremony, USMCA, a real concrete, solid proposal for peace in the Middle East, working with the Prime Minister of Israel and Arab countries that recognize this is a very credible, sound offer. That's what the president's doing. He's focusing on keeping this country going, creating jobs. All they're focused on is this witch hunt hatred. People aren't there. They don't want us wasting our time trying to settle political vendettas against each other. Lower drug prices. Go focus on things that actually can create more jobs. That's what people care about.
I wanted to ask you, in our first impeachment special, we had our political director come on and talk about polling that suggests that the people aren't paying attention to this anymore. And I think that's partially because the process of going from the House to the Senate has taken so long, but a number of other factors. And you just described a number of important issues that people would rather the House and Senate be working on. What do you see as the long-term impact of this impeachment going into the next election? How do people feel as they go to vote after watching this crazy, I mean, sham.
Right. It's definitely been a stain on Pelosi's legacy. You know, she keeps trying to say that the president's the one that's going to get all kind of, you know, problems from this. I mean, frankly, the president's going to be ultimately, he's going to be ruled not guilty. I mean, he's going to be acquitted on these charges. It's going to be an overwhelming vote. Nobody, by the way, I have not found one person that thinks that the president's going to get removed from office. Let alone anybody that can identify a crime. I mean, President Zelensky was thanking President Trump on the phone. You know, you talk about who's been helping Ukraine. Trump actually sold those Javelin missiles to Ukraine so they could stand up to Russia. Guess who didn't do that? Barack Obama and Joe Biden wouldn't help Ukraine stand up to Russia. That's something they should be asking questions about. But at the end of the day, I think people have tuned it out because they looked at it early off and they said, well, there's nothing there. There's no crime. Why are they going after this guy? We have an election in just a few months, less than a year. The people of this country want to decide who the president is. They don't want Nancy Pelosi and Adam Schiff in some secret little room, which, by the way, for months, they were in a secret room that other members of Congress, including myself, couldn't even go into to see the witnesses. I called them the tryouts. You know, they would bring these witnesses in. They would try out. Some of them completely flopped. Some of them, you know, they gave innuendo, and then they'd be asked under oath, okay, you made all these allegations. Did you ever see a crime? Well, no. Did you see any bribery? No. Can you name a single impeachable offense? And their star witness under oath said no.
Yep.
And that was on live TV. Those were the ones who cleared the tryouts. Imagine all the people that weren't good enough for prime time and what happened in those secret hearings. So Schiff did this for months. The country is fed up with it because, again, people want us to be focusing on real problems that matter to them. They don't want us to be fighting amongst ourselves. And Pelosi is going to have a real tough time in a lot of these swing districts. Districts that, by the way, there's 30 districts now that elected Donald Trump and then elected a Democrat House member. And imagine those Democrat House members now, 30 of them, mm-hmm. going back home to their districts when they campaign saying, I'm going to work with everybody. I'll be pro-life, pro-gun, anti-Pelosi, by the way. Right. They have a 98% voting record with Pelosi. And they just voted to impeach the president that people like in those districts. People are going to vote to re-elect Donald Trump. They're going to lose a lot of those seats because they weren't focused on the ball. They weren't focused on lowering drug prices, infrastructure, securing the border, things people really care about.
You talked about people kind of being tuned out or not paying attention or being sick of it or whatever. They probably focus on other things. In the great state of Louisiana, it's been a pretty big year sports-wise. I've got to
imagine people were a little more focused
on the LSU Tigers than they were on what's going on here. You love the LSU, obviously. Talk about the run. I mean, it was an incredible team. I couldn't believe how
it was
good
a magical season.
Were.
It really, you know, I know, look, I went to LSU. I'll give the disclosure up front. I lived my second year in Tiger Stadium. It used to be dormitories. So Mike the Tiger was my wake-up call every morning. I'm not an early person. You imagine, like, Mike the Tiger at 7 o'clock in the morning growling like a beast, and you're going, oh, my God, are we going to get attacked? And, you know, so you wake up and you go to class. But I love the Tigers. And this story, I mean, Coach Ogeron, I mean, this guy is just – he is authentic Louisiana, such a genuine guy. You know, I was in the hospital 2.5 years ago. He called me a few times in the hospital and, you know, sent me a helmet and just was rooting for me to come back. And just a genuine person. And his players, you can tell, love the guy. Mm-hmm. And, you know, and he should have gotten the job at USC at a 6-2 record, and they went with somebody else. And, you know, so he had that kind of, you know, kick to the curb mentality of, you know, I've got a second chance at LSU. And then you look at Joe Burrow. I mean, kid from Ohio, Mr. Everything, and had a basketball scholarship and a football scholarship, and then loses out the starting job at Ohio State. You know, had a very competitive program over there. And then he's looking for a second chance because he said, you know, I still want one more chance to try to start. And he believed in himself, which is what everybody should pay, you know, kind of pay attention to that story of, you know, you might not get what you think is what you want, but as long as you believe in yourself and you have a vision for what you want to do, you just keep trying. And Coach O gave him that second chance. And then he has literally the most historic football season a quarterback maybe has ever had in college football. They, you know, they win the way that you would want it to do. They're role models. They're great in the community. People look up to them. They don't shy away from that. They're not out getting into trouble. They're really good kids, and Coach Ogeron is the top. And it was a great story. The president got kind of wrapped up in it. He invited him to the White House right away. We had a wonderful day. He spent 2 hours with these kids. I call them kids. I mean, they're massive men, you know, 18, 19, 20-year-olds. And, you know, he brought them into the Oval Office and said, anybody that wants to take a picture, you got the Heisman Trophy up there and the national title trophy up there, and every player lined up to take a picture. The president was just incredibly genuinely warm, and you know, and for most of them, it was their first trip to the Capitol.
Yeah,
and I brought them on the House floor. We did a tour of the House floor, and just, you know, this is what's great about the country. They represent something special about why people still love sports, especially college sports. It's, you know, it's that you're not a professional yet, but, you know, you're out there competing at the highest level. And so it was fun year, special magical time. So like, I'm bouncing off the wall still, if you can't tell.
And
you know, it's funny how your calls into your legislative office change when everybody's just in a really good mood.
Right. I mean,
you know, it's the economy's good. Nice. LSU's winning. We're having this magical season. You know, I don't even care about what Pelosi's doing up there. We've tuned that out a long time ago. You know, let's just focus on what's good in life.
You know, I'm a Minnesotan, so I don't know what it's like. I kind of know what it's like. I got a taste of, like, what it's like to have a good football team this year, even though
yanked
we're nowhere
right
near
from
LSU.
You there, right?
Yeah, and watching Burrow win the Heisman and the relationship between him and Coach O, It was overwhelming, like, was, watching that.
I was tearing up. If you weren't, you know, this is what's amazing about this kid. And look, I mean, you see kids in college athletics that even if they're not from your school, you're just drawn to them if it's a really good story. And Joe's was a good story. But then he goes up and he's first thinks his offensive lineman, right. Which, you know, for a quarterback, smart. Everybody knows. I mean, if you don't have a line, you're getting crushed back there. You can have the best arm. But thanks them. Thanks his coaches. Thanks the coach at Ohio State,
right.
Who, you know, ultimately chose somebody else, yeah. But gave him a fair competition. Mm-hmm. He never knocked Ohio State. I had a fair chance to compete. Somebody else won the job. He let me leave and go somewhere else, and mm-hmm. he went to LSU, and you know, and the rest is history. But he thanked that coach too. Mm-hmm. But
classy.
Of course, then he comes around at the end and thanks Coach O for giving him that second chance, for believing in him. And you could see Coach O welling up. You know, if I'm a kid out there that's trying to figure out as a high school senior where to go,
right?
Okay, I want to go play for Coach O. Yeah. But then you look at what he talked about in terms of his hometown, totally. Athens, Ohio. He said, you know, I came from this town, and he was just talking about how for kids to never give up and saying, you know, a lot of kids, they're going to go home tonight and they don't have a meal.
Right.
And look at me, they can be up here because look, I got here mm-hmm. and I came from this town. And so he gave this inspirational story to these kids back home that have a tough life. The next day, the money started pouring in from all around the country. The food bank in Athens, Ohio, by the way, had a $70,000 a year budget. They've raised over $500,000 from awesome. The generosity of just good people everywhere. Mm-hmm. And so, you know, you're up here in this town, you can become cynical going, man, this is, everybody's fighting and hating each other. And then you look at the greatness of this country and the fact that, you know, a kid gives a speech and you're crying, and even if you didn't go to the school, you were rooting for him.
Right.
And then you just picked up the phone and said, I'm giving $100 to the food bank in that right. town just because I don't even know anybody in Athens, Ohio, but I like the story. And I believe in helping other people. And $500,000 came cool. in within a week. So
absolutely.
It shows you, you know, what he did was great, but it also brought out the best in all of us. And just the goodness of America, that's what makes this country so great.
Yeah.
Absolutely. Being an Ohio kid, do you think he goes to Cincinnati?
They'd be crazy not to take him.
They would be.
The only thing I told my Cincinnati friends is, please go and invest in a really good offensive line. Don't get that guy killed, because he will be a great quarterback. He's got that mold of, you know, Drew Brees, and he had never met Drew Brees before. He's got mm-hmm. the same numbers. Drew went to one of their practices a few days before the national title game, and they got to meet, and he's got a lot of similarities in his accuracy. They compare him a lot to Tom Brady. He's probably a little more mobile, a little faster than Tom Brady.
Definitely.
But, I mean, he's a big kid, but he's got incredible accuracy in his arm, and it developed so much, and he advanced just in the last year. Any team would be lucky to have him. Cincinnati would be crazy not to get him. I think they take him with the number one pick. I just hope they put a good line around him. And he can be a great quarterback.
Yeah. Absolutely.
In the NFL.
We have to ask you, so there's incredible pictures from the national championship game where you're sitting next to the president. He's wearing his suit, his white shirt, his red tie, and you are in LSU purple. You've got your beads. It is fantastic.
I might have broken protocol, but you know, I just had to go with the you know, the spirit of the game.
Team.
It's my team. I'm rooting for them. I'm not impartial, and so I got more comments on those beads. By the way,
say.
I brought them up to DC in my office. So those beads are, you know, the purple and gold, really, really obnoxious, probably. But
what
if anybody wants some, we'll be happy to share the love with you. Purple and gold are the best color combination in all of sports. But
I'm a Vikings
president
fan, so
of good time. He was trying not to pick sides. He was impressed. Look, I mean, Clemson made us earn it. I mean, they had not lost a game in 2 years, and they're really impressed. The president, they were up by 10 points at one time, and the president goes, man, these guys are tough to beat, you know, but it was a good game. It went back and forth. But you could see by the end of the first quarter, Burrow just, you know, he figured out the defense. He figured out what to do. Coach O made the adjustments on both sides, and we shut down Trevor Lawrence. But he's a great kid. They're already preseason number one for next year. But we were able to win and beat seven top 10 teams through
Huge.
The process, beat all four of the four preseason top four teams. Yeah. Nobody had ever done that in the history of college football. So it was a special year. And to have the president there, I call him our good luck charm, because he went to the Alabama game.
Uh-huh.
We beat Alabama for the first time in 8 years. Then he goes to the national title game. We win that one. I told him I'm giving him season tickets for next year. He can come with me to every game. We will be happy to have him. But the president was great. And by the way, when the president walked out onto the field of the Superdome, and I mean, you got South Carolina fans, you got LSU fans, and you got just people at the national title game. All kind of celebrities were there. The president and the first lady came out onto the field for the national anthem, and the crowd just went nuts. It was a huge roar, and I thought it was great that you know, for all this stuff. Again, you get out of the bubble of Washington, you get into the real world and real America where people work for a living. And they love this president. They love what he's doing. He's fighting for the forgotten men and women of this country. I don't think the mainstream media or the socialist liberals that are trying to compete against each other in a Democrat primary to see who's going to try to make us look like Venezuela. You know, I don't think they get what this president is doing and the connection that he has made with those. And these aren't even the, you know, the Republicans that weren't showing up as much. These are the guys that maybe were the Reagan Democrats that just stopped voting for both parties. They gave up on Washington because Washington gave up on them. And President Trump said, I'm going to fight for you. And he's delivered for him. And the response when you go to communities anywhere. I mean, I go to a lot of districts around the country, swing districts, swing states. And people respond that same way. They love what this guy's doing. Clearly, we see up here in Washington, not everybody does. But by and large, most people in the country love what he's doing, and I think he's going to have a very successful reelection. We just need to make sure that we keep the Senate and that we get the House back. And, and obviously, there's a lot of opportunities to do both.
You play the washboard.
They've told who's your background source? I mean, is there a whistleblower inside
you just
the
you're my background.
Washington
you're my
Mardi Gras? I rolled over on you. I think there are pictures out there. I'm not the most musically inclined person, but then I love Zydeco. I love all kinds of music, but Zydeco is, you know, it's a unique music to South Louisiana, and it's a fun music. I mean, you listen to good Zydeco, and you're just in a good mood no matter what. And so the washboard really does make Zydeco work.
Right.
And so I started playing the washboard just for fun. And I got some of my friends, Buckwheat Zydeco back in Louisiana, taught me some things and some of these other guys. And there's this group called the Bayou Boys, and they made me an honorary member. And so they let me come up and play the washboard with them. It's a lot of fun.
That's awesome.
You're a big 80s music guy.
Yeah.
Tell us, what's your pump-up playlist for caucus meetings for in your office when you're passing a bill?
You know, we need a smoke machine and like, walk-up music, like a, you know, like a baseball stadium or something. But, you know, my go-to's always been Eye of the Tiger for a lot of reasons.
Of course.
I name my leadership pack. Everybody, like, names it after themselves. Naming it Eye of the Tiger, you know, like, this is like feisty. You're going out there, you're battling, you're going to win. And so I play Eye of the Tiger. It's all, you know, get you going. That's a good pumped up song. Yeah. But, you know, like the 80s dance music and a lot of the bands from the 80s, I still like Bono. I've been a U2 fan since like probably late high school. And I got to meet Bono. He came to the hospital. He came to my office after the shooting. It was just wonderful, you know, and cheered up my staff and took pictures with
them. That's cool.
Invited me to a concert that they were playing. Yeah. And, you know, it's just, again, you get to see these sides of people that are so good. You know, when so much of the focus up here is on the negative and evil and kind of personality conflicts, there's just so many good people out there that, that, you know, I get to see that too. That's
you
fun.
Mentioned the shooting. How are you doing? How's recovery? Are we A-okay?
You looked great in the last baseball game.
I feel great. I got to play in the baseball game.
Yeah,
and,
great.
You know, you get to go in the major league ballpark. You know,
that's amazing.
The first time I came back, they hit the first pitch to me, and I'm like, do you know I'm not supposed to be really doing anything? Just wave and get off the field. And, you know, and then they make me make a play. And, you know, luckily I was able to do it. But I still go to physical therapy about twice a week and working to build strength back up, mostly in my left leg. That's where the bulk of the damage was. The bullet went in my left side. And I had 9 different surgeries. They were all successful. So I you know, knock on wood. I don't have any more surgeries planned. But look, God's been good. A lot of prayers. Thank everybody who's prayed throughout this recovery. The prayers worked. The medical team, my physical therapist, I wouldn't be able to walk without that. I had to relearn how to walk again. This year was my goal in 2019 to not have to use crutches again at the end of the year. And so starting this month in January, I started dropping the crutches. And,
good for you.
You know, just congrats. Getting better all the time. Maybe I'll be out there running around on the field next time, but not quite there yet. But
that's fantastic.
God's good. Feel great.
Fantastic. We have to ask you for your New Orleans food recommendations. For people that are visiting for the first time, whether it's Mardi Gras or any other time, what are a few things they have to make sure they try?
God, it's like picking your favorite child. New Orleans food, I'm blessed to come from such a fun place and great food. There's a lot of restaurants that are, you follow the Commander's Palace, let's say the family tree of Commander's Palace, and started with Paul Prudhomme, who invented blackened redfish, and then everybody thinks they're blackening things just by burning it. But Paul, the real secret to what he did with blackening is spices, seasoning, putting the right kind of seasoning, not too much, but just enough. You know, throw a little butter in there, and you cook it on a pan, and that's what that is. Charbroiled oysters are probably now my favorite single bite of food. Wow. Like if you go anywhere, Drago's in New Orleans, best single bite of food. You get a dozen charbroiled oysters. It's an oyster on a half shell, grilled on the open flame, and then they put a garlic butter sauce on top. you know, and then that's really good for you. But it's it ignites the flame, so the flame's going up, and it's cooking the oyster. Right. You know, if you don't like raw, I eat raw oysters too. But if you don't like raw, it cooks the oyster.
Right.
But then they put a little Parmesan cheese on top, and it comes out bubbling in the half shell, and you eat it. It's just unbelievable.
That's like amazing.
If you just finished a big meal, you'd want to go eat a dozen of those anyway. And obviously, so many other great restaurants: right. Galatoire's, Giacomo's, you know, funky, great soul food and Creole food and French. French Creole is really the big thing. We just paid tribute to Dookie Chase, Leah Chase. She's the ran Dookie Chase's restaurant in New Orleans. Just a historic establishment, goes back decades, and that's great, incredible food. But you can't go wrong, and so many great restaurants there. And you know, you go to New Orleans, you know, go have a lot of fun, go out and see some live music, birthplace of jazz, but absolutely, go eat some really, really good food.
It's a city like no other. It is the most unique city on the planet. So. Let's talk a little bit about the House, since we're over here on the Senate side and we're over here sequestered in hold. How are things going in the bid to retake the House? And
we
talked a little bit about it before, but
it's going really well. You know, obviously it's going to be a battle because they're not just going to give those seats back. We lost a lot of seats. We've had some retirements. You know, the good people that we're losing. The good news there is that they're mostly very strong Republican seats. But the battleground is going to be in the 30 seats that Trump won that are held by Democrats. It used to be 31, and then Jeff Van Drew switched. Yep. They had an incredible rally the president went to in New Jersey. I mean, you can imagine New Jersey, over 150,000 people try to get tickets to go. And I mean, it's jam-packed, incredible enthusiasm and energy. And I think Jeff's doing great. He's going to do well in his reelection. So that leaves us 30 seats that Donald Trump won and probably will win again, maybe by bigger margins. And they're held by a Democrat who just voted to impeach Donald Trump. And that's the challenge for Pelosi. You know, on our side, look, we've got to go make the case. And it's not just about how bad they are, because they're bad. I mean, their policies are horrible. They want Medicare for all. They get rid of your private health insurance. They want the Green New Deal. I mean, one of the most lunacy policies you can imagine. You get rid of airplanes. You never miss a flight again. That's the good news. But, you know, no fossil fuels, no cows. Right. They literally talk about getting rid of cows. This is where they are as a party. Yeah. But they've got millions of dollars. Each incumbent's going to have millions, so you got to go battle. And we're getting really good people running. There's still a few primaries out there that, you know, we got to hopefully get, you know, really strong candidate coming out of a primary. Or you still are recruiting in a few different areas. And so in the end, I would much rather be us than them. Clearly, the matchup for president is going to have a big factor. I would take President Trump against any Democrat that's out there. And frankly, so would a lot of Democrats, because they're talking about other Democrats getting in the race. I mean, Michael Bloomberg just got in the race a few weeks ago, spending tens of millions. And, you know, you're seeing a few people dropping out. But in the end, they're fighting to see who's the farthest left socialist.
Right.
This country's not a socialist nation. It's still a center-right nation. President Trump's got a better story to tell than anybody since Reagan, and maybe a better story than Reagan if you think about how he's delivered so much in a short period of time. You know, starting with border security, he's building over 100 miles of new wall. You look at the economy, hottest economy in the world, lowest unemployment in the history of the country for so many sectors. You know, whether it's African-American unemployment, Hispanic unemployment, 20% increase in women-owned businesses. You're seeing millions more people getting into the workforce. This is what America is all about. We're rebuilding our middle class. And Donald Trump did it. Democrats chose to be on the sidelines and vote against the tax cuts that did this, that created this hot economy, getting regulations under control. People really do understand how that's impacting their lives. They're not going to want to go to a socialist who's promising them everything for free and nobody pays for it. The money just falls out of the sky and you plug your car into a tree because you can't, you know, you can't get energy anymore to run electricity in your house. I mean, this is where they are as a party. It's crazy policy, but you know what? Let's have that matchup. And that matchup will not only help Donald Trump get reelected, but that's where it helps us in your races in the Senate to hold those seats, to get a few more. We're going to win Alabama back. We've got a few more Senate seats we could flip. And then you look at the House, clearly, you know, with 20 seats that we need to flip to get the majority, 218 is the magic number. Again, 30 seats that Donald Trump won. And there are other opportunities beyond that that we're going to have real good opportunities
pretty
to flip more
to
seats.
Start.
I'd rather be us than them, like
I'm
I said.
I'm sold.
Absolutely.
Congressman Scalise, you're a great American. We have been thrilled to watch you these last few years with your recovery, but also just your leadership has been incredibly valuable. We are glad to have you on our team.
Yeah, absolutely. Thanks for joining us.
We got room for more people on the team, and I know a lot of people are looking to join up at the end of this year. So thank y'all for what y'all do to fight for the future of democracy in this country. It's well worth fighting for, and we're going to win.
We appreciate that. 20 for 20 is paid for by the NRSC, not authorized by any candidate or candidate's committee. NRSC.org.